Hello and welcome to another episode of The Trade Paperbacks. Today we're talking about, I don't know, I mean, this was bound to come up, right? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We briefly talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Whenever I talk about Daredevil, I always talk about Turtles.
Yeah. Okay, it was backwards.
It's kind of my thing, you know, it's kind of, somebody brings up Daredevil, I'm like, hey, you know. Then I push my glasses up, I'm like, well, actually...
This is like when I get talking about various features of primality.
Yeah. Or somebody brings up turtles, and went, you know, they don't have different color mass, you know. You can only tell the difference based off their weaponry.
Was that a movie innovation?
What?
The mass colors?
It was a cartoon innovation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, the originals were black and white.
Yeah.
So... It didn't really come up, you know?
Because it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah. When things were colorized, they always did the full red. Everybody did red.
Oh, okay.
And that's what we got here. That's what we got here.
Well, in this, the turtles are slightly different shades of green. So
yeah, that's a total...
That's the only indication.
Yeah, that's an Eastman thing. I love it.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of my favorite... I think it's in this book... Is where they have them all without their masks. Is there a picture like that?
I think so,
where they're
yeah.
just like chilling?
They're like hanging out, yeah.
And you can tell who's who based off of their the way they conduct
their posture.
Themselves.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. Isn't that weird? That,
a like, little bit, yeah.
It shouldn't be a thing, but I could be like, oh, okay, that's that. I know who's who.
Yeah.
Just based off the way they're standing or sitting. And that's kind of the best part. Anyway, so we're dealing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles... Change is Constant. This is volume one. Change is Constant. Mm-hmm. And I gave you the deluxe edition.
The deluxe, the large print.
Yes, edition. Which I told you I read to both my children when they were babies.
Yep.
There's pictures of me, because it's big. It's big like a kid's book.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a kid's book almost.
It's hardback. You know, it's a big old book. You asked me if I paid $50.
Yeah.
I did not. And then you asked me if I pay full price for any comic, and I said no. You can buy this hardcover for $67.85.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Apparently new, but...
Like they're still printing it?
No. Like, I really truly don't understand how Amazon works when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there's, like, people who are like, well, I can get a hold of, like, the... scans and I can print a new one.
Right, you never know.
Yeah,
you
like
never know.
You're buying counterfeit books and stuff.
All right, so instead of what we normally do, we're going to do this episode in reverse.
Okay.
We're going to rate it
and then talk about it.
Then we'll chit-chat.
Okay.
Okay. Cuz then I can ask you why you scored certain things.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to put TMNT. It's probably I'd like to do The Last Ronin, but again, we're out of time for this month, so I got to figure out how we can do this later in life. But TMNT dialogue, what are you going
to
give?
I think for dialogue, I'll actually go up to a 7. So it's like a family story. Excuse me, it's a family story. It's an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's also like, it's kind of an origin story for everyone. The dialogue is, you know, it needs to be designed exactly right in order for it to be impactful. I didn't think it was necessarily like, you know, Oscar worthy dialogue or anything like that, but it was really good. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. Dialogue, I'll give it a 7. That's fine. Artwork.
So I don't know what I'm comparing it to, but the artwork's actually pretty awesome, and the large format, like, like the fact that it's not cluttered. Like, it just feels natural somehow. So, like, I really actually liked the artwork a lot. So I think I would go with an 8, maybe even a 9, but I don't know if I could go up to a 9.
Okay.
So.
I will.
Okay.
So, as far as the artwork, it's important to note that this is the first run from IDW.
Okay.
So Turtles has been around a long time,
mm-hmm.
but they've been through a lot of different companies.
As a comic?
Yeah.
Property?
As a property for comics.
Okay. So IDW actually like literally bought TMNT.
Well, no.
Or did they just like license it or?
It's kind of like the way that the agreement works. It seems like with the Turtles, at least, like as long as there's, I feel like there's some sort of creative control that they oversee. But I mean, honestly, the comics originally completely independent, right? When mm-hmm. it first came out. And it kind of just took off. And then when things changed, it went through all these different places. But IDW, when they did the reboot, I mean, they went with, you know, the creators of Turtles to create not a new origin story, because I feel like the idea of Raphael being separate from everyone else has been like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like, this was a complete revamp
yeah.
of everything. And
well, that was kind of the thing even in the original movie, right? Because Raphael was kind of like the loner in the original movie.
Anyway, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's always been a thing, but I feel like this, I don't know. To me, this is what I would go to for source material on things, just because I think it's, I enjoy it so much. All right. What was I talking about? That?
Artwork.
Oh, artwork. It looks a lot like the old chalk sketches, you know, like as far as like the longer nose and like, you know, it's kind of the way that they're very iconic and close to the original.
Okay.
But I will say with different comic books, they did not look like that. It's kind of, it came back with IDW.
I see.
In my opinion. All right. Plot and story. I'm going high. I'm going to go 10.
Okay. Okay. I think I'll go, you know what? I'm going to go with a 9. I'm really hard to give a 10, by the way.
No. I've never given a 10 this whole
show. Oh, really?
This
whole show. Yeah, I'm not sure if I have. I may have
you
given.
You did.
Did I give a 10?
Yeah. I forget what.
Yeah, I think it was on the Dark Knight one, but I don't remember which one it was. Yeah, we'll find that out when we do the review. The month in review episode. So, yeah. And the thing about the artwork is like the large format. So was this how they planned on doing this or did they just make a large format?
No. This is addition? Okay. So volume one is a collection of the four trade paperbacks.
Oh, okay.
That were like this size.
Okay.
Right? Like,
and so they just like took the thing and just brought it out.
Yeah. But it looks great.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked because when I first started reading it, I was like, they could totally just weigh these pages down with details in this scale and it would probably be a bit too much, but it actually works really well. Like it feels like more like you're there, you know, you're a spectator to these events. It works really well, I think. But in terms of the plot and the story, I thought it was a really interesting idea to have an entire, graphic novel where Raphael doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't know his name. He doesn't know his family. He just doesn't know anything. He knows he's not human and that's about it. That's all he knows. I thought that was a really good approach. So,
For me, it's just, I don't know, everything about it. There's emotion. There's like just the weird, even like the Casey Jones stuff, making his father like this abusive, like, you know, there's just like all these different
just mean drunk.
Yeah. It's all over.
Yeah.
It's a nice roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Good storytelling, very straightforward. You know, it's, characters that you wouldn't know if you only watched the movies or the cartoons that are in this. And actually, it gets pretty good. The whole entire IDW run is pretty epic. So, all right. Entertainment. I mean, we got Ninja Turtles here.
Yeah, I know. How could you be not entertained?
It hits all the chords, this book. You know? I mean, this is... Now, granted, I think it's important to note that you think it's a much bigger read than it is.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is this wrapping up already? What's going on? And then you realize you get the whole comic book twice.
You get the whole book twice, but you get Eastman sketches.
Yeah, you get like the preparatory.
You also stuff. Get the, yeah, you get kind of the draft.
Yeah, like the drafts or the OG sort of thing.
Yeah, and I've read it both ways. This is what the original would look
like. Okay.
Yeah, it was just kind of raw.
Right. Black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In a way, I really liked. I read it both ways.
Oh, okay, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I did not. Because, I looked at every page. I kind of glanced at every page, but I did not reread it.
I don't know. It's like seeing, you know, it's like a behind the scenes, like what the storyboards.
Yeah,
look,
it's a storyboard. Yeah.
And just the non finished product, and then even the non finished product was cool looking.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's not as big as you think, even though it might say it's whatever 100 pages.
Yeah.
But it's only half of that. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Entertainment, though, I would have to give it. It's up there at like it's an 8, I think, for me.
Okay, I can meet you there.
So which is still
8's high enough. But cool factor, I'll probably go.
You're going 11, aren't you?
I'll probably go 9. I'll probably go 9.
I would go with a 9 for cool factor as well, just because like it is TMNT. Which I have not really consumed any content of since like the second movie, I think. So I don't know. There was just something really awesome about it to see that sort of thing. So
it's actually I don't want to cheat. All right, so mine ends up being an 8.8 out of 10.
Okay, mine is an 8.2.
8.2 out of 10. All right, so we'll meet at 8.5.
I think it was just a little bit less emphatic than you.
We'll meet at 8.5, just like we did with Venom at a 2.5 or whatever it was. I don't remember. All right. So with that out of the way, I'd like to just, you know, let you go over it.
Yep.
But basically, I feel like it's Raphael's story.
Yep. It definitely is, and you know that, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah,
in the thing,
and it's just a really good story about people finding a lost member of their family.
Right.
I feel like the flashbacks for Splinter and on the Turtles, and the way the cat takes Raphael away. It's just like I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great story. So take it from the beginning. Tell me what you thought. Tell me what led you to, us giving it an 8.5.
You know, obviously you start with the three turtles and, Splinter getting into a mix up with, the cat creature thing, whose name I totally forget because I'm terrible. And then it goes back in time and it like is showing the origin story of like pre-Ooze sort of thing. And then you have all these other things that are going on. And like, I thought it was really interesting. I thought there would be more about this, which is the kind of corporate espionage
later
sort of thing. Okay. So that is later in the series. So like, it wasn't exactly clear why that's going on, but you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, of course there's like some sort of accident and these turtles get this, mutation as well as the rat. And then it's also like, okay, the cat gets it as well. Coming into contact with this. And then there's just this huge story about like the reunification of Raphael with the rest of the rest of the clan, which is obviously, you know, setting up the whole series. So I just thought it was really cool. I thought it was done really well. I like the fact that like you do have different hues of green to show the different characters so you know which character you're looking at without having to like look at the weapon that they're carrying. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, it was nice going through something with all the same attitudes that I remember from the movies and stuff. And then seeing this, I thought that was awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, the variants are cool in the back, or the middle, I guess. I will say, I know a lot of people don't like the newer movies, right? The newer ones that came out.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of them.
Right, which is fine. Not many people have.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the animated ones.
Right.
Right. I'm not talking about the Seth Rogen one.
You're talking about like the CG ones.
So. Well, yeah. No, like the live action with Megan Fox. The Megan Fox.
Yeah, ones. The but like those weren't people in costumes, right? That was like CG that they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Everything is.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Everything is nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway,
half of Megan Fox is.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, I know a lot of people didn't like them, didn't see them, whatever. But they're really close to the IDW, like, stories.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think people slept on those movies, to be honest. I did.
It was like 2007, it looks like. Oh, wait, no, the reboot film series was 2014 to 2016.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And the 2016 film, I love that movie.
Do you? Okay. So it's actually
You can actually get away with just watching that if you just want to have a fun...
As opposed to like starting at the beginning.
Fun time, just watch it. Because, I mean, the first one, I would agree, was not very good at all.
Oh, okay.
I would not watch the 2014 film and be like, can't wait for the next one. You know? It didn't give that. It didn't have that.
What's wrong with it?
There's a lot of wrong with it. So to start.
Is it just like violating the
It's not. It's violating. Rules?
It's just boring?
Believe it or not, there's not enough fan service for me.
Mm.
There's something about the second one, which is called what? Like Shadows or something stupid. I hate subtitles.
Shadows of the Shell. Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows. Okay. Whatever. You're in the sewer. You're not in the shadows.
Yeah.
It should have been called Out of the Sewers.
Out of the Sewers. Yeah.
But anyway. There's a ton of fan service. It was very authentic to what a lot of people remember the Turtles. I think it's a great movie.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous. But the whole premise is.
Yeah, no, the whole premise is ridiculous, but like, that's...
Even though this comic takes it very, very seriously.
Right, yeah, but that's what makes it great.
That's kind of part of it. That's part of the ridiculousness, you know?
That's why, actually, I did see the third movie, the one where they go back in time for the original series.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And that's why it's like, even that, as long as you're willing to just kind of take this as like Muppet Treasure Island, it kind of works. So
I love Muppet Treasure Island. So, yeah, and you have to be in the right mindset, but this comic is pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know? From beginning to end.
Yeah, there's really not much in the way of comedy in this. Like, it's kind of bleak on all fronts.
Yeah. And the IDW run is actually when they also did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles vs. Batman spinoff, too.
Oh, I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah. So... It's pretty, I mean, I enjoy that as well. But I really do like any of the IDW stuff with TMNT. And I invite all of you to check it out. You don't have to get this giant $80 version, you know? Let me see.
What they're going for these days.
Yeah, you can get the paperback. You can get it used for like $9.
That's a deal.
27 new.
And does that version also come with all this other stuff?
It doesn't.
Okay, so it's just the graphic novel itself.
Yeah.
Still, at the same time, it's worth it. It's good.
Great story. Casey Jones is great. You don't really get to know. It doesn't really hint at any of the stuff, right?
With no.
The Foot Clan and everything, right?
No, the only thing you get...
Just that espionage.
...is just, like, the corporate espionage thing of these ninjas breaking into this place.
Okay. Is Kang referenced at all in the first one?
I think the name might come
up. Okay, I think it comes up.
I think it comes... Yeah, it comes up two or three times because he's funding...
Yeah.
He's funding the research.
Okay.
And now he's angry because it's like now the research is going to be behind because we don't have this material and we can't recreate it.
Yeah.
You know, and now I need more of this material, so we have to talk to Kang.
It's so
I only vaguely know the term.
But
the,
you know Kang from the cartoon.
No.
It's that little brain guy.
Oh, that's Kang?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. I never actually really watched
the cartoon. But things are very different in the IDW.
We just didn't have access to that when I was a kid.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. No cable.
It wasn't on cable. It was on Fox.
Oh, well, we never watched that. My family was 8 people, 1 TV. So, there was an awful lot of the younger children don't get to choose what we're watching.
Understood.
So I watched an awful lot of like more like mature content. Mature as in like what a younger kid would see as boring, not mature as in like, you know.
What did you watch?
We watched a lot of PBS.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched a lot of things like that. Parents loved Dr. Quinn. So.
Oh, who didn't? I had to watch Dr. Quinn with my grandparents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I
enjoyed it at the time. I have since tried to watch some of it as an adult, and I'm like, this is pretty cringe.
Is it?
Yeah.
I haven't tried.
I'm a history fan, so like a lot of like the... Well, we have to go out of our way to like inject, you know, modern notions into this show from 1870, whatever. It's pretty cringe.
Hmm.
But
Well, they can all be winners. But this was a winner.
This one was.
You know, it's...
Don't waste your time with Dr. Quinn. Go to TMNT.
Yeah, it's, if I had to choose between Dr. Quinn or reading this, I would choose this, I would think.
See, that's why I actually got into books, though, is because I wasn't allowed to watch the things I was interested in watching because somebody else was using the TV or it was bedtime. So I ended up reading an awful lot. You would think that I would have gotten into comic books, but I think, you know, I was also broke. So there's that.
I love these Dan Duncan variants in the back.
Yeah.
Like it's just like...
Oh, yeah. Like, that's awesome.
That is so good. It's so good. And I also like the entire, you know, Raphael was not trained to be a ninja.
Right. And so, like, when he's fighting, he's more like just...
He's a boxer.
Rush and smash. Yeah.
Just strength.
More boxer.
And he is more built than everybody else.
Yeah.
They tried to do... They didn't do it like that, but... When the cartoons came back, my son got into it. It was called Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
First season, no Shredder, no nothing like that. They try to do a reboot, hard reboot.
Yeah.
Raphael's the leader.
Raphael's the leader?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's twice the size of everybody else.
Wow. Okay.
The other characters are kind of the same, except Leonardo's not a natural born leader. He's kind of just like, he follows the rules, but...
Yeah.
It's a very odd show. And it got better. It got better when they came out.
So he's twice the size of everybody else. Is he still using Psy?
Yeah. That's no, so but weird. See, all of them got weapon upgrades at the end of the first season. It was
See, the Psy never made sense to me. It's not a great weapon unless you are fighting somebody who's got a sword. That's really all it's helpful
for. Or a stick.
Sword or a stick, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're doing... I mean, there are so many points where, like, he's... He, like, kicks someone with the size in his hand, right? Because most of the people they fight are weaponless, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, just put him down.
Yeah.
And in this, it actually feels better for me that he has this storyline and uses size because he kind of doesn't hold him right anyway.
Oh, okay.
Like, he grips him like they're Wolverine claws.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I never noticed
doesn't
that.
He doesn't know how to use them.
Yeah.
Because he's not trained that as a ninja.
That does make sense.
And if you had to pick a weapon to give somebody, because nunchucks, a lot of skill.
Yeah.
Knife, you could literally chop a piece of yourself off. Donatello's probably got the most idiot-proof weapon, even though he's the smartest.
His is the most idiot-proof weapon, but he's using two of them.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily very effective.
So in a way... I think Psy might be the best.
Oh, wait. You said Donatello.
Yeah, Donatello.
I was thinking Leonardo.
One big old stick.
Yeah, one big old stick. The bow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, most idiot-proof by far. What's your weapon? I got nunchucks. What do you got? I got razor-sharp swords. What do you got? I got this stick.
I got this stick. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
But to be fair to Donatello, like if it gets broken,
no, he's the best
if it
in the video
taken
game.
Away, you could like you're already trained to just pick up another stick and hit people with it.
He's by far the best in the video games.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, you've got reach on the bow.
Yeah, you got reach. You don't have to worry about that close combat stuff. It's great. It's great. All right. Well, I think that was one of the higher ones, right?
Yeah, it was 8.5.
8.5.
Yeah,
yeah. So that was a win.
That's up there.
That's a win. I think we got some other things down, but the month is coming up fast. So
yeah, we're running out of time.
Kind of like this episode.
Yeah, yeah.